If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
You're listening to The Instance.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance episode 511 for January 12, 2018. Look, I'm right on. I'm all over this. It's me, Scott Johnson, and I am joined by and with and for the soon-to-be father, Patrick Bejean. Hello, Patrick. Welcome back.
Hey, Scott. So I will blame my not playing of World of Warcraft for a few weeks now on my very pregnant wife.
Even
though in reality, I've been playing Overwatch way too much.
Yeah.
So I have time.
Yeah.
But let's pretend for this episode that the reason I'm not playing WoW is because I'm taking care of my wife.
Oh, that's okay. That's fine with me.
That's nice.
That's a good excuse.
That's good, though. That's
it's lovely. Nice. Also, a man with two children already, so he knows what it means to be a father. We have with us Terpster. Terpster, welcome back. I feel like it's been ages, man. We've missed you. How you been?
Oh, thank you. I've missed you. Yeah. And it's nice that Patrick's here. So I'm excited for Patrick. He's about to embark on one of the most challenging journeys that you can ever go on. However, obviously, nothing in this world is ever really worth it unless you've got to work hard for it.
Mm.
And you better join the club.
I'm very excited about all this. It could be, I hear you can get like t-shirts and like you get secret handshakes and, to get to change diapers.
To be honest with you, that's about it is the secret handshakes and the t-shirts. But also you get to make bad jokes as you have traditionally anyway, but then
excuse them on being a dad.
That's the best thing. That's
for
the
for my whole life.
Yeah.
The perk.
Yeah.
That's the one.
There you go. Yeah. It's an epic quest you're about to embark on, and you have to grind a lot of rep to make that kid happy and one day look at you and say that he loves
you. 18 years at least, I hear. That's the and it's way, way more expensive than a subscription to World of Warcraft. So I expect quality time.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of entertainment is what I signed up for.
Absolutely. Well, I've been cheating a little, if I'm to be honest. I've been cheating on the old girl. I'm not talking about my wife.
Wow.
I hope not. People listening to the show, I apologize for my voice today. I swear I'd change it if I could.
We should, as a warning, I'm busy with, baby stuff.
Yeah.
Terpster is busy with being famous and rich. And Scott is super sick. And he sounds like he should be in bed, really. Again, quality entertainment for you today. That's a guarantee.
Some sort of plague flu is sweeping the country I live in. Everyone seems to be getting this. I got it. Nobody else in the house is yet. They're all on pins and needles, hoping not to get it. I would also like to correct this, just for the record, Terpster is famous, but not rich. Who is rich? Who is rich is the thousands, perhaps millions of children that will benefit from their highly successful charity run that they always have every year, which why is a main reason we don't see you very much.
We did an obscene amount of money this past year. So,
there's a lot of money.
Good. We raised
all charity.
We raised $5.24 million in a month, all going to charity, sadly. gratefully. So that's fantastic. And not a penny of it goes through my fingers.
No.
So that's good. Because I would have invested it in cryptocurrencies and it would have been like 3 million today. And then 3.2 million tomorrow, 7 million the day after, and then 2 million again, and it will probably stay there for a while.
I didn't expect some good advice about cryptocurrency investment, but we've gotten it. And that is, right now, it's volatile as hell. Don't do it. It's nuts. Well, anyway, that was fun to watch. But that people are always like, "Where's Terpstra around the holidays?" It never seems to be there. It's because it, that thing takes a ton of time, and you guys are
it's doing the work. Very involved.
Yeah, doing the work for the kids, and that's other.
I'm just hoping
fantastic.
That you know, when I die, I get to go to heaven, and quite literally by buying my way in. Because come on, you know, if you can't, it's up. We've raised now $11 million. Like, if that doesn't get me in, especially, I mean, I've done some horrible things. But you'd hope that would, you know, they'd be like, ah, go on.
You'd think
it,
that'd
it would
be enough.
Seem like, you know, hopefully $11 million worth of good stuff for, it's for kids too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, hey, I'm going to have a kid. Can I get some of that money?
No.
I honestly wish. Oh, wouldn't that be great? We should do that. We should make a charity called the Instance Foundation for the Betterment of the Instance. And I'll put it forward to a vote. Children.
Yeah. The show doesn't
but
really.
No, yeah. Surely $11 million will buy your way to heaven if you haven't done anything
because Jesus
overtly
said,
criminal, right?
Even a camel can get into heaven, especially a rich one.
Wait a minute.
I remember that.
Is there a passage somewhere I missed that said a camel can get into heaven?
It said that's what Jesus said. He said, even a camel, especially a rich one, can get into heaven. And I was like, wow, that is.
The church used to sell what is it called, indulgences?
Oh.
I think like that
that's the one. Yeah,
yeah. You would pay to atone for your sins, and you would pay and buy a document, and the church would say it would, you know, the document sold to you by the church would say, well, this rich person has, you know, now been washed of their sins.
Really? Wow.
That's kind of incredible. Yeah, of course.
I didn't know that. That's crazy.
These are European churches as well, Scott. So yeah. We were like cutting edge in our sort of
you've been doing it for hundreds, thousands of years. I mean, you've been at it for a long time. You made up your own church one time just so you could get divorced. That was pretty good. That was pretty good.
Yeah, and even then it's frowned upon.
Right.
And you're like, come on, guys. What's the point?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think they have indulgences in World of Warcraft to bring it back to the topic that we cover on the show?
I think the Holy Light originally started as something that was very much about God and stuff, I think.
Right.
So if you're Bull Dan, and
all of a sudden, before you get, you know, smushed, you're like, you know, I've done some pretty bad things. Maybe I can pay. How much does it go for on the auction house?
Well, especially think about this. Exactly. If Bull Dan had bought a load of WoW tokens, ages ago, and then he cashes them in now when they're worth like a bazillion gold. You know, you'd think he'd be on his way to
rebuild like some churches of the light somewhere in I don't know, Argus, for example. Well, they have lots of those, but in some Zandalari lands to bring the light to the savages. That could work, I think.
Oh man, now you're getting into some gritty. I'm excited about the Zandalari pushing back on our Anglo ways as we get in there. That's going to be great. By the way, I've been doing a little penance in the game. I started I don't know why I'm doing this, but I started a druid alt, and I've just been playing him for no reason. Just level from zero to wherever. And I didn't even boost him. I'm just kind of looking at.
Why are you doing this
I
now?
Don't know.
You're getting the, like, in literally in like, what, 4 days, we're getting the scale zones leveling.
Well, that's what I think is what pushed me to do it is, okay, so this kind of has a two-parter kind of story to it. So I'm really itching for that. I'm very excited about 7.35. I'm very excited about the scaled zones. I'm excited about the alternate races or the allied races.
Allied races.
Yeah, let me get that straight. They're my most one of my most excited things about this upcoming expansion, and therefore this pre-patch content is that stuff. So it's just driven me to be like, oh, I want to get in there and play, but I don't, should I wait? And then I played, I thought, well, I never play a druid. Let me just go mess around with this druid a little bit. And I just kind of got sucked into it. And then that's when the cheating started, because then I went, you know what? I could be getting a little further along in Morrowind. I haven't played ESO in a while, and I like ESO a lot. I think that game has come a long way, and I think it's a great, probably my second favorite MMO next to WoW currently. And so I hopped in there, and I've been playing that a lot. I guess what I'm saying is I'm quest hungry right now. That's what I want most of all. I don't want grind. I don't want dungeons. I want dungeons as long as there's a questy quality to them. I don't want raiding right now. I'm just not in the mood. I want story and character and progression, a sense of progression that is a tangible one. And you get that with early druid play, like, or any class or character in the game. So that's what I've been, you know, that's what I've been jamming down my throat while we wait for this content. And I can't wait. Like, Tuesday is going to be awesome. 7.35. Plus, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but during the holidays, every other Blizzard game was getting something rad happening except for WoW. WoW was just sort of there, right? But every other game was like, oh, Overwatch League's coming soon. Oh, Mercy changes. Oh, look at this. Heroes of the Storm, you're getting a freaking Fire Bat, and plus all the Wintervale stuff. And blah, blah, blah. Like, all these other things were going on. I should say two other games. I guess the rest of it. And Hearthstone still, you know, enjoying its expansion, Aftermath, Afterglow. But it just seemed like WoW was sort of left flapping in the wind. So Tuesday, we finally get something. And I'm jazzed about it. And you guys must be too. I mean, Patrick, even if she hasn't birthed yet, you're going to hop in, right? You're going to be in there?
Yeah, well, for now, we're just waiting. We're spending a lot of time waiting because I have all my shows pre-recorded. Mm. So I hope it comes before then, because I don't want to have wasted the shows pre-recording them.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm going to... I think the next thing I'm going to do is jump in and finally do the Argus raid that I haven't touched, because I wanted to be able to do all the wings in one go. And there's, you know, I do LFR, so I was waiting for all of it to be unlocked.
Yeah.
And I don't know exactly what happens at the end of it. So no spoilers, but I'm finally going to get this. Although I was spoiled a little bit.
Here I'm going to give you, a tiny hint. This is not a spoiler. You're going to go through a whole bunch of trash, a bunch of guys that don't mean anything, and they're going to suck, and you're going to be irritated with them. And then you're going to get to a final bad dude who will fight you, and you'll beat him. That's what will happen.
I hear his name starts with an A.
Yeah, I've heard that too. We call him A-hole around these parts. Anyway, so here's what you can look forward to on Tuesday, and here's how you're going to get those allied races. If you want to be a high mountain Tauren, you have to achieve the following. Ain't No Mountain High Enough, which is complete all the High Mountain story quests. Those have to be done. Okay, so you got to do those. If you didn't finish those, you got to go finish all those out. I've finished those because I liked High Mountain a lot. And this is account-wide, so if one character did it, all characters did it. You also have to be exalted with the High Mountain tribe. So those are your two requirements there.
So I think they went back and forth on the exalted reputation thing. I don't know that it's... I mean, it's necessary now, but I don't know that it's going to be necessary once... the things are actually available, because also you can do this to prepare, but it's not like allied races are going to be available the moment the patch hits. It's in there, they can activate it whenever they want, but you're going to have pre-ordered Battle for Azeroth in order to...
Right.
So it's probably going to be in a couple of months that they actually activate that. It's The embassies, I think, are going to be in game when the patch hits, but not the actual. You won't be able to play the allied races.
I thought you could
play
them. But can
you do the quest to unlock them? I think the quest is live, isn't it? Or is that not happening until...
I thought all of it was.
It's a quest. I think it's just conditions.
I thought all of it was. So you could all...
You do like a scenario. So, like, you know, as a tour, and you'll go to High Mountain and help them out.
But hold on. If I can't actually play the allied races until I buy the expansion, what's the point of this patch? Because why?
No. You'll be able to. Oh. So once you buy the expansion, you'll be able to play it, but not... It's not... You have to wait till the expansion's out. It's just you have to have pre-purchased Battle for Azeroth.
So what are the leveling zones for then? Like, why is that coming in 3.5 if you can't... We can't even buy the expansion yet. You see what I'm saying?
Well, because they need to put it in the game before they can activate it.
Yeah.
They put it in this patch.
I think it's happening soon, though. I don't think it's going to be long.
Yeah. Maybe if they're putting this content in Tuesday, maybe they'll also have pre-orders on Tuesday. I don't know.
I doubt it.
You don't think so?
I think it's going to be more Legion type thing, where you could play the Demon Hunters a couple of months before the thing hit.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a little bit of a wasted opportunity if they didn't use this as a as a drive for the excitement for the expansion.
Sure.
So I suspect it will be a couple of months before it comes out, which is probably not going to be before summer. So yeah, we're not there yet.
Well, good luck, everybody, with whatever the hell drops Tuesday. And I can't wait. I want to do this now. Like, I want to be in scaled zones. Actually, probably what drove me back to messing about with ESO again and it is that thing, that one Tamriel update where everything scales with you, and I just love that. I think that's my preferred MMO stature, and I know this isn't exactly that coming to World of Warcraft, but it's close enough for what I like about that. So I'm ready. I want to go to these old zones. I want to be a level 20 in a place that used to not be for 20s, and I want to crank out cool content, and I don't know why I'm craving that so bad right now, but that's what I want. I don't want, here I am with my trinkety old fart who's been through everything waiting for the next raid boss, though. I don't want to be that guy right now. I want to be, I'm in the world knocking down shit and making the world better, and here's my cool knife I just got because I killed a dude. Like, I just
you want
need
a level. You're at a phase where you want to go through the leveling phase again. That's
what
that's
I want.
Understandable.
That's what I want. And they're about to give us that, and I'm very excited about it. So there's that. Anyway, so that explains the druid. That explains me cheating on WoW and playing a little ESO. To the point that I got ESO Plus. I'm literally paying for two MMOs.
Oh,
right
wow.
Now. Yeah. My wife's going to
kill
me.
What's ESO Plus?
It's you can pay, it's like a subscription. You get extra stuff, more bags, that kind of stuff. And faster leveling.
Is ESO free to play?
Yeah. Well, yeah. You buy the game.
Oh, I didn't realize.
Right, Terpster? You buy like the game, but then, and then you can play the game for free. Oh, okay. But then if you want this at bonus stuff, you get like some free currency stuff and stuff.
Yeah, it's better value than if you were to buy it as microtransactions.
It's my preferred free-to-play model where you pay to buy the game. So it's like, you know, you buy the game, $30, whatever. You play the game all you want for free because that's, you know, there's no subscription. But then you're like, man, I'm really invested in this. I would like some of these extra things. And then you pay for it. Like, I think that's the way WoW would be if it launched today. That's how I think they'd do it.
Well, no. Well, yeah. If there was already another WoW in the market,
yes.
You know, WoW is the thing that stops other MMOs doing what WoW does.
Yeah, that's a good point. I should clarify and say that all of this hinges on a big leader that's sort of hard to topple, and then you come up with creative ways to make your business model work. But I don't know. I like what they're doing over there. It's pretty good stuff. Let's talk about what else. I don't know what else. So, here we go. Public knowledge. This is interesting. This is a group called Public Knowledge, says to the Copyright Office, make World of Warcraft free. All right, so this isn't going to help, or this isn't going to slow the argument that many people have about vanilla and how Warcraft as a technology or as a, I don't know, as a code base should be something that's out there and freely available for people to go mess about with, and Blizzard shouldn't be able to control it for all time. Archivists, academics, and researchers should be able to circumvent copy protections to curate and study multiplayer video games. That, according to this group called Public Knowledge, which is pressing the Copyright Office here in the States to expand the video game exemption to include multiplayer games that involve accessing and reproducing copyrighted content from external servers. The bottom line here is that they want WoW and things like it to be in the public record, same as we would archive or preserve something like Super Mario Brothers or a song that Frank Sinatra wrote in the 40s or whatever that thing is. They want to expand the reach and say, yes, these games as services should also be things we can sort of capture and keep. And I'm curious what you guys think about this. Do you think that's a right thing to do? And does it open up a giant potential Pandora's box of, you know, companies like Blizzard are going to have to just live with the fact that they're going to lose control of their thing?
Well, I think at some point, to answer your first question, yes.
Yeah.
At some point, probably. And yes, very much a giant can of worms. They have a point. It's a very different debate from the question of should we have classic WoW available to play? It's really not the same thing. Mm. But there is a question about those works of art, many of them, you know, every piece of video game that has an always online component and a game as a service that evolves, some of those things are going to be lost forever. And they're the property of the company that creates them, of course, but at the same time, they do have cultural and artistic value and relevance. And I think it's important for a society to be able to somehow preserve those things.
But don't you think they're kind of preserved? Aren't they kind of preserved already? The internet preserves it all. Like if I want to, in 150 years, if I want to look back and remember, or my ancestors want to look back and remember what troll sweat was, they can go to some wiki. It's like, it's all there. Like it's not playable.
Yeah, but it's not the same thing. I mean, it's a, like a photocopy or like notes about something. It's not, you know, if someone told you, well, sure, the Mona Lisa is great, but you can't, you know, ever have anything about it. You can have the notes. Like if you read the Mona Lisa had a really cryptic smile and that's your, you know, conservation of what the Mona Lisa was. It's not the same thing as the actual thing.
Sure, but isn't so, video of the Mona Lisa, camera getting up close to it, some conversation from art historians, a bunch of supporting documentation. I mean, that seems
if
like
you have a no, it's not. Obviously, it's not. And you could make an argument that that part would should be enough. But I think you can also make the argument that somewhere as a society and human race, we should be able to archive, because now it's kind of anecdotic. It's kind of, you know, just World of Warcraft that is big enough to have that kind of influence or spark that kind of debate. But more and more, we're getting a lot of our entertainment in that way. And for a lot of it, music, movies, you can, let's be honest, you can archive it somewhere.
Yeah.
But that is a very different and unique kind of entertainment that you just can't. I don't know what the solution is, but I agree they have a point.
Let's find out. We actually have somebody calling into the show. Let's see who this is. Hi, you're on the air. Who's calling?
Hey, Scott, this is Wynn. Long time listener and stuff.
Yeah.
I just want to kind of bring up with your topic on here when it comes to preserving stuff, another MMO that's very much, that started just before WoW, City of Heroes. And a program like this, there's been in organizations trying to bring it back in some way or another, because it was a successful MMO until the Korean company decided to shut it down for some unknown reason. There's been, they've backwards did the thing with the code so people can try to log into a virtual server on there with it, but they, because a lot of the code lied on the server side, they couldn't play the game.
Right.
Game on there. They could just explore the city, not do anything.
Sure. No, this is a popular example that people always bring up, is City of Heroes was a very popular MMO, or at least somewhat popular, but not popular enough to keep on, you know, on live servers, obviously. But I don't know. I Wynn makes a good point. I wouldn't mind having some kind of portally webby interfacey thing where I could hop in there and walk around the world. It doesn't necessarily have to have.
Yeah, it's not the same though, is it? Like, what are you at that point? It's like I've got the sheet music to Skrillex's album.
Yeah,
and I'm going to preserve that for all time. Yeah. Here you go. And it's like, well, I guess I could kind of make it kind of, but it's not the same as the thing.
Yeah,
and I think that. I get like people wanting to study stuff, but the whole point of it is that it's evolving, it's changing.
Right.
And so it isn't the same. And this is one of the problems that classic WoW will face, which is at what point of WoW and Warcraft history is it nostalgic and classic for you?
Mm.
Like for some people, that is, I want to play Wrath of Lich King. That for me is.
Yeah, but that's a different.
But no, what I'm saying is that it's changing though as well. That, you know, it's an evolving game. And so if you want to study the game, what are you studying? How? And you need all the players, and the players aren't there.
Yeah.
They're external to the game.
But you also have this thing where if I want to play Wrath of the Lich King, I can actually go do that now. I can take a character in there and go through everything that was Wrath of the Lich King, minus the player base that's not there anymore. Minus the changes that have happened since then, my character differences.
But that's exactly the experience. Yeah. You're not experiencing the moments. You're just experiencing the history.
Right.
And that's a very different thing.
Right.
I think the argument is more theoretical, though. Like it's to the, you know, it's the idea that at some point this is going to go away, like City of Heroes did,
yeah,
and other games have. And once that happens, Blizzard is the owner of that code, and you can never have it, right? You can, if they decide, well, too bad, that's it. World of Warcraft doesn't exist anymore. It's only a memory that we all share. And that's too bad. It's, you know, there might be some poetry to it, but it's the only one of the only, it's like, you know, burning a painting. If it's something that I think preserving art is a valuable, a noble endeavor for a society, a culture, a race, and the human race. We should, now we have the possibility of preserving as much art as possible.
Yeah.
And if you consider video games to be art, I think there is value. And that's why we archive all of the old machine. You know, there are some organizations that do that. They archive all the old consoles, the old games, and you know that somewhere it exists. It still exists. But for some of those games, they will disappear. It's like, yeah, like I was saying, burning a painting.
I'll bet you money City of Heroes exists somewhere. Its last build is someplace. Somebody's got it archived someplace. I don't know where, but you know, it's just, it's MMOs are such a different animal. I can go to archive.org right now and I can play any number of old DOS games or emulated stuff from Atari.
That's exactly the issue.
Right. And those, I love that that exists. Like, I love that. But it's also one thing to say, hey, we're putting combat from the Atari 2600 up here and keeping it forever, this really one note sort of experience, versus this World of Warcraft thing, which was so much more than the sum of its parts. Like, I don't know, it's just tricky. I'm convinced that we'll figure out a way. I think, you know, life finds a way. And also, you know, you see other companies do things like, id Software was great at this. They're like, guess what, we're making Doom open source, and now guess what, we're making Quake open source, and Quake 2 and Quake 3. Like, they open source all their classic stuff so that it's out there. It's just there. It's in its pure form. It's also in now modded forms, which is also kind of interesting because you watch that stuff get iterated on. Like, they in some ways are leading the way, but I don't know if Blizzard's in the mood for any of this. I don't know if they want to do this.
I think for now we're going to get classic WoW, which will serve that purpose for a little while at least. And maybe once that done, when that's done, you know, in 20 years, when they finally shut down the servers of World of Warcraft, maybe they'll say, you know what, classic version, just we work with whatever library or organizations to make it into something that can be accessible somewhere. And maybe that will happen and it will be great.
But maybe it will. Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, but I think the question and the issue is worth raising.
Right? Yeah, I completely agree. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hey, this is Howard from Iowa.
Hello, Howard from Iowa.
Truven 4 in the chat.
Nice to have you here. What's on your mind?
So I was just thinking that maybe something that's going on sort of new with modern MMOs and even computer game technology is the sort of the expansion of the online hosted content instead of you installing the content on your own PC or having a disc that you put into your own console to play the game. It changes where the media is stored. It makes it that much harder to preserve the information from a public perspective because all of the code it sits on private servers.
Yeah, so you're talking about like the cloud-based world we've already entered in lots of ways, and in other ways we're still evolving into. But like World of Warcraft, there's an installed client, but that client doesn't work without a server with that also has a bunch of data on it that helps the client function. There are other cases where it's maybe a browser interface or it's a much simpler interface, and that is all cloud content and none of it's on your own device. Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, we're definitely heading that way, and you're right. Like, that's going to make it harder for people, like, you know, if, let's say Patrick or some kind of hacker man, him trying to.
Why am I the hacker?
All right, Terpster's the hacker man.
I'm a hacker man.
Yeah, you're something else. But for you guys to try to preserve that stuff, is you don't have access to the content like you do if it's a, you know, game you can crack and then preserve and then whatever. Like, I don't know. So that's also illegal right now. And there's lots of ethical questions about that. But then part of me is like, well, I'm glad some hacker figured out a way to make it so Grand Theft Auto 5 is forever in the lexicon, will never go away or whatever. I don't know. It's an interesting subject, though. And Blizzard, I just think Blizzard's in a unique position with it all because and other MMOs as a result, but they've got this thing that is just this multi-year gigantic deal that's ever evolving and changing. And you could take a snapshot of it every day and say, today is a unique instance of World of Warcraft. Okay, now today is another instance of that, because it's so changing and evolving. The players shifting around and doing things changes what that world is at any given time. And it's just a weird egg. I love the philosophical discussion around it, though. I just don't know how, I don't know how any of it pans out in the long run. Like when we're all old men, Patrick, this baby that's about to be born has its own baby and is sitting on your knee going, Grandpa Patrick, tell us the stories about when you used to play the video games. And you're like, well, let me tell you about
there was this idiot called Scott. That's how I'll start.
That's how you'll start? Oh, man.
That's how all the stories start.
Jeez, Louises. All right, that's fine, though. All right, so there's that. Now, Patrick, or Terpstra, I picked this next story for you.
Oh, really?
Someone has worked out the penis sizes of World of Warcraft races.
Oh, this was a while ago. I mean, what? I've not heard of this news.
Yeah, it was a little while ago. It was a little while ago, but I couldn't resist.
It was weird, Scott. It's very weird. And even then, like, I think it's
a little weird.
Doing a disservice to certain Warcraft races.
Yeah,
so,
you don't seem to be playing. I've noticed you don't play a lot of the races with what I would refer to as the more endowed characters. That's interesting that you've chosen to go that way.
I play a Tauren. What are you talking about?
Well,
they're the biggest.
Well, are they, though?
What does it say? It was Draenei.
Yeah, I think
Draenei. I forget. It was, like I said, it was a long time ago.
Space goats have the big junk. But anyway,
good. All power to him.
Says it right here. Someone has worked out the average length of people's penises, their vaginal depth, and so on of the other genders, obviously, in World of Warcraft. Someone named Leggerless, a Redditor, who is famous among MMO communities for this sort of thing. Apparently, he does this a lot. When it came to Azerothian anatomy, his method was to take the height and aroused parts, or penis length, sorry, of the average human male.
All right. Yeah, we get the idea. We get the idea. A guy with too much time on his hands does a lot of stuff about dicks.
Yeah.
And you know what?
Yeah.
It's not that interesting.
It's more importantly, why did I think of you when I saw this? Why?
Well, because you have this obsession with me having an obsession about genitalia.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's only half true.
It must be. It must be only half true. All right. Well, you're right. There you go. By the way, gnomes are they have a problem.
They're proportional. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
They couldn't, if it was too big, it would be a problem. That would be a problem.
Would it?
Yes. Although, I'm sure they would adapt.
Okay. All right.
I just would like to note that Terpster is actually a gnome warrior in the game. So he chose gnomes. Nothing against gnomes.
No, exactly.
No, yeah, gnomes are fine.
Don't need to be anything more than you are.
They're
just
fine.
Enjoy life.
Still,
enjoy life, live life, and won't be nothing, won't start nothing.
Still never be seen in a proper WoW cinematic. It's okay, it's fine. The only time we get him is some
Hearthstone and again,
thing.
I think that speaks more of the limited imagination of Blizzard's artists than of gnomes. I think if you can't make a gnome look cool, maybe you shouldn't be an artist. Well, I said it. There you go. Geez.
I think, you know, Taron Gregory, very famously gnome friendly.
Yeah.
He's going up in the Blizzard organizational chart. And I think at some point he'll manage to be high enough that he will make an executive decision and say next.
I think
next
you'd have to be pretty high.
You got to be pretty high.
we have time. What did we say? Like World of Warcraft still has 20 years. So, well,
I think
it would take 420 years.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. I think you meant drugs anyway, right? You have to be pretty high. I think
he meant drugs. Yeah. Oh, God.
I think it's funny to hear you say the limitations of the creativity of the WoW art team, which is like saying rain is dry or something. They're like the most creative people in the world. I think they could figure out a way to do it. Some have said that the projectiles used in the catapults in the Battle for Azeroth trailer are actually gnomes bound up in little sacks. So it's possible that's how they were used. And I say that's a good use. That's a way to use a gnome.
I think it's an amazing use.
I agree. It's pretty good. All right. Let's move on to this. There's another dumb thing for you. Yeah, it's a, like I said, it's a slow WoW news cycle. This entire season has been a little slow. So this is what you get. World of Warcraft mod replaces sound effects with Owen Wilson's wow, wow. He says wow every time he hits somebody.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. It's pretty awesome.
Listen,
I tried
we could
it.
Have talked about new ways of getting legendary tokens and how much Riven Essence.
They've nerfed it as well now.
Well, not really, because you get less random amounts, so it works out. You know, it balances.
Yeah, about
out.
Three
but
times as much. I think it's enough.
It's absolutely worth talking about that mod. It's wow.
Yeah,
it's
wow.
Amazing.
Wow.
It's,
I even have some. You guys want to hear it?
Yeah.
All right, here it is.
Do you?
There's just a little bit. Okay,
so explain what it is first. It's not going to make sense.
One. You hear it? Wow. Hold on.
So every time you crit, it says wow.
Yeah. So
a different wow. There are lots of different wows.
Yeah, and they're all from actual Owen Wilson films. And they are him saying wow in various
just
tones.
Just play it again a little bit. We didn't hear it properly.
All right, hold on. This is a bad example of
louder.
It. It's Owen Wilson wow mod. I just want to find the right one here. Okay, here we go. This is it right here. Crit add-on. Okay.
Wow.
That's so dumb.
I love it.
It's so dumb, you guys. It's so dumb. Like, I love it that it exists, though, and that this far into the game, someone's still making a stupid add-on I can talk about, which is pretty great.
Wow. It's good, though, that kind of, you know, Blizzard, and I don't think they get enough kind of continued credit, I guess, for the lure add-on stuff in Warcraft.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been such a useful thing to have. And it's fantastic now that, you know, it's allowed continued innovation in the digital space.
Yeah. It also bleeds
imagine,
into other.
Imagine if Overwatch and Heroes of the Storm had add-ons.
Oh, dude. I wish those games were. I am all in on that. I wish that Blizzard was a little more open with that stuff. I want map editors. I want like. I know they kind of sneak stuff in, like there's a little bit of a god mode thing in Heroes and that you can mess around with, and there's also, you know, essentially mutations in a custom game you can make in Overwatch, but those games would benefit from letting me just fart around in there and build my own game types. And maybe I can do that with enough switches and levers to make it fun or interesting.
Even just
but
UI. I think the UI-wise, it would be cool.
I mean, I think Blizzard sometimes, part of me thinks that I don't know. They've gotten away from moddableness in all their games, kind of ish. Like StarCraft II is the last proper retail game that supported that kind of thing. And in WoW's case, it's purely, you know, UI and other simple things, not the game itself.
Although I say that, but then I think, what would the mods be used for? Like half the time, it would be damage meters that you would use to be able to put down your teammate that's not doing enough damage, can, you know, to your liking, and the people who aren't healing enough. And it would, I don't know that it wouldn't
or
be toxic.
Or though, here's the thing, or they build an entire mod of, like, I don't know, let's say Warcraft 3, that ends up becoming the most popular game on the planet, a MOBA called League of Legends and Dota 2 and everything else, and now they're trying to play catch up with their own little version of that. But what I'm saying is, innovation happens in your backyard, and if you don't see it coming, you miss out. Like, and I don't blame Blizzard. They were at a part of their existence where they were like, you know what, all hands on deck to keep WoW functioning, guys. We can't focus on anything else. Meanwhile, in their very own backyard, someone's building a billion, multi-billion dollar new aspect of the industry and a new genre, and they should have owned it. Like, they should have been able to be in a position where they could have pivoted on that and gone, okay, we're going to make this thing, and we're going to back it. We're going to buy these guys, and we're going to make, you know, something huge out of this. And they didn't do it. I think they do it today, but they couldn't do it in 2009.
Well, I mean, yeah, that would be a longer conversation.
Right.
I'm not sure I subscribe to your interpretation.
But my point is,
time in history.
Moddability is responsible for so many cool innovations in gaming.
That's true.
Things like Team Fortress. You could argue there's a path from Team Fortress, which was originally a mod for Quake 1, and you could follow that lineage all the way to Overwatch being successful. You could say the same thing for all sorts of stuff, including MOBAs are absolutely an example of that.
Obviously.
Yeah. So
tower defense, there are tons of them.
Sure. Yeah. Wouldn't it be, I mean,
even Battle Royale started out as a mod for Arma 2.
Right.
I think
Arma 2 mod. Exactly. The Player Unknown guy did it. So, yeah. So I wish Blizzard was more embraceful of those sorts of things. Like I wish Diablo 3 should be a moddable engine for people to make cool things out of. I don't know what, still have the core game, but let the people have some fun there and figure something out. I don't know. Just some thinking.
I think Blizzard has become a lot more, you know, Apple-like. Like, we know what's good. We give it to you. You enjoy it. And that's it.
Yeah.
You know, and I like that approach, but I agree that there are some downsides as well, which are notably the lack of moddability.
Yeah, which is a bummer. But anyway, there's that. All right. Let's have a look around Blizzard. Blizzard Central, as I like to call it. What's going on in the rest of Blizzard? Well, in Heroes, Miles Blaze Morales, Lewis, rather, not Morales, that's a lady in the game, was released. He's called Blaze. He is a fire bat from StarCraft, from the StarCraft world, and he's fantastic. I love him. He's my favorite new hero in a long time. Love him.
What does he do? I haven't seen him.
He's a tank, so he's a warrior.
I think I can summarize it.
Okay, go.
He sets you on fire.
Yeah.
Then he throws oil at you.
Yeah.
And then sets the oil on fire as you're burning, so you're double burning.
Yes, and right? If he stands in his own burning oil fire, he heals. And he's his flame stuff's just all over the place, everywhere, all the time. He's kind of a little bit of an ability barfer, and I love that in my heroes. He's very tanky. He's supposed to be a tank. He's a warrior. He's got a great stun, like a Russian stun thing. His one of his heroics is he calls down a bunker from the sky, and you get inside the bunker and you shoot flames out of it. Anyone else who gets in your bunker can do the same thing, so you can kind of protect yourself in there. And then he's got another one that's kind of a damagey slow thing. He's awesome. He's really, really great, and he's got a great attitude, and he's always saying light it up and shit like that. He's awesome.
So do you buy all the heroes that come out when they come out?
Almost always. Yeah, almost always. And sometimes for our show Core, by the way, if you're really into Heroes of the Storm, check it out over there at heroesforyou.com. But we do this show called Core every week, and sometimes the fans will say, hey, we want to buy this hero for you, or something like that will happen. But for the most part, yes, I'll pick them up. Not always, though. I don't own Genji. I don't own the Lost Vikings, and I don't own who's the guy that can be a bird all the time? He's
Medivh.
My brain went dead for a minute.
Well, it's not untrue.
I like how he's been, yeah, but I like how the greatest mage to ever live on Azeroth, who had Sargeras as a demon within.
Yeah.
He's, yeah, the guy's the bird.
Yeah,
who's
the guy
the
can bird be a bird
all the time.
He's the guy that's always
the bird guy.
That's the one. He's, I don't own him. So there's some I just straight up don't own because they don't interest me all that much, but I'll tell you right now.
I can see how you wouldn't want the Lost Vikings, but Genji, I mean, just to say, Mada Mada.
No, Genji's great. Genji's great. I just don't like his. I say this because I haven't played him, but I don't think I'll like his playstyle. But maybe I'm wrong. Yeah. I don't really even like him in Overwatch.
I mean,
but
if you can you emote, like, can you say, I need healing?
Yes.
If you can, you need to. Oh, did you see the Christmas eulogue with Jeff Kaplan thing?
Yes, that was great.
That was very good.
It was really good. Except for when the camera would morph and you'd see his crotch move, and it bothered me. I didn't like that. Did you guys notice that?
Did you see the present?
Him and his demon crotch.
His demon crotch. Exactly. Did we see what? With what?
The Genji need healing.
The present.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
A present, like at some point.
Yeah.
And it was a pictured frame, a framed picture of Genji saying, I need healing.
It was a really odd stunt, that whole thing, do you think?
It was cool. I like them doing weird stuff. It's nice anytime Blizzard does something different.
Yeah.
Because it's so hard for them internally to do that.
I also like that they're playing up that whole Kaplan thing, too, because he's just like this quiet, nice guy who's so front-facing with the community, and I like that they're kind of playing with him. I think it's great. And he said this once.
I'm Jeff Kaplan.
Whoops, hold on. He said this once.
I'm Jeff Kaplan, and you're listening to The Instance.
Yeah, that was nice, Finn, that one time.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Was the other one the one where he inflected wrong?
Yeah. Yeah. I have a couple of those.
You're listening to The Instance?
Yeah, it's like a question.
Yeah. Wasn't that Mike Morheim? I think I recorded those when I went to the first BlizzCon I went to.
Morheim, you got Morheim and him that first time.
Yeah, I think
and
so.
I have the Morheim one, but the Kaplan one, there were two of them. And the first one was that one. It was very clear, but he did it with a question at the end. And then you re-recorded it, and it was a crappier version, but the last part sounded good, so I put them together.
Oh.
So that is two clips.
I'm really sorry, Jeff. Could you say that again? You sounded stupid. Okay. Yeah, I'll give it a go, I guess.
That was back when he was the Ian Hazzikostas of, wow, he was a big deal then. Yeah.
Good times. I was young back then.
Speaking of Overwatch, big nerfs to Mercy. She keeps getting screwed over. I freaking hate what they're doing to her. But that's not important. What matters is that.
Well.
Okay. What? What do you say?
She needs a nerf. She is like insanely powerful. Big. She makes or breaks team. They're going a little bit strong with the nerf hammer. Basically, they're doing four things, two of which would have been enough probably, but they're going really strong.
Yeah.
But
I like her.
Junkrat as well has had a little damaged nerf.
Junkrat needs a nerf as well.
Yeah, he was. Oh my gosh, that Boston New York game yesterday. He did stuff that I didn't think was possible. I mind blown. Like there was who was coming after him. Oh no, I know what it was. A Pharah was swooping in doing something. This Junkrat, I don't remember who was playing him, but he's on the New York team. Came swooping in, he throws a concussion grenade in the air, pops it, which blows the Pharah a pretty good distance forward, throws another grenade up in the air, pops it, and just kills her. Like in this crazy skill shot moment that I don't know how he was doing it. Those were amazing games.
I do that sometimes.
Yeah, because you're
hunting Pharahs down with Junkrat is really fun.
It actually is fun.
And that's not going to be possible anymore with the nerf.
Not nearly. But anyway, Owl is in full effect. That is Overwatch League. These games have been amazing. I think it is living up to its potential hype. The viewership's been awesome. I'm really excited for where that's going. So check it out. If you haven't, today there are games as well. So get in there. And go Outlaws because they have the coolest logo and the best color combo. Finally, people are already burning out on dungeon runs and Hearthstone because of no rewards. I'm real curious. So Terpster, we haven't had you in a while. Do you think the long is it? That it's kind
as
of
soon
a problem.
As soon as you get all your dungeon runs done, you don't play it.
There's again. No reason to go back, is there?
No.
That sucks. I want there to be
a reason to go
back.
It's fun. Like it's a fun game mode, but at the same time, there's no reason why it shouldn't be, some sort of reward. You know, you get the card back for doing it all, and it's great. But that's it. And it's like there's no reason to go back. If they had quests. So it's like, hey, here's some solo quests.
Yep.
You know, complete a dungeon run or kill 10 bosses on a dungeon run as a warrior or something like that. Be like, oh, cool, great. That's really fun. Now I've done something.
Yeah.
Bums
me out because it's such a fun mode when there's a reward in sight, which is just it's a gameplay thing. But if it kept giving me gold or whatever to just go beat these things, I'd still be doing them.
Yeah, I think, just the quest system needs a little bit of love anyway. It's too simple, but I guess it needs to be. But anyway, it'd be cool to have some dungeon mode only quests that encourage you to play what is a fantastic part of the game.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And it's that great argument Blizzard can pull out from time to time about how this isn't pay to win.
Yeah.
This is a really, solid game and you can do this and that and all the rest.
Yeah. Yep, I agree. I just would say if you're looking for a similar feel to that dungeon run that does give you gold cards and other rewards, I don't like cheating on my favorite girls, okay? But Eternals Gauntlet is basically that, and it's really fun. So you guys should try that out. Eternals is a good game.
Okay.
Check this out.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why? It's the Town Crier.
That's right, Town Crier time, where we take your emails. We got one in particular here from Yur of the Rosemary's Babies Guild. That's a weird thing to do, isn't it? A little bit? Well, whatever. I'm sure they're fine people. let's read this email. It says this. Hi, guys. I've been playing MMORPG since the Ruins of Konark expansion in EverQuest. and vanilla WoW. I fondly remember the days of early WoW, logging in every night, mindlessly running strat with my guildies for my tier zero set pieces. However, the two guild leaders had a disagreement and the guild slowly died. Flash forward to the present. Every WoW expansion I come back, I get a few characters to max level, grind some beginner dungeons, get bored, and quit. I have come to realize that I played WoW Vanilla for so long because, in many ways, WoW was a glorified chat room for me. Without my close guild friends to chat with, I would get bored. How do I go about finding a new guild of like-minded people? Every time I tried a raid, I ran up against people who took WoW too seriously, so I never have been much of a raider. Whenever I've joined a guild since my first, they either never talk or only make dumb jokes in chat or talk about touchy subjects like politics or religion. I have a feeling most guilds are now in Discord or some voice chat thing, but I typically don't like sitting in group chat with my friends on Xbox, let alone a bunch of random strangers. Without essentially trial and erroring every guild on my server, is there an efficient way to find a guild anymore? Thanks. Your. My first thought when I read this was to rush over to the forums and see if they still had guild-specific rooms, or a server-specific rooms, rather. And they do, but no one's doing shit in there. Like
no one goes there.
No, it's a ghost town. And so I'm curious what you guys think. Terpster, where would you, it's a weird thing. It's a weird thing 14 years on or whatever. We live in a very different world. It's used to be forums and the game. Now it's a million other ways to talk and chat and whatever. Hell, you and I and Patrick plan for the show via Twitter half the time. Like, yeah. It's just a much different communication environment than it ever was. What would you do if you were the guy looking for a new guild?
It's a big place, the World of Warcraft. Like, there is a guild finder in-game. There's just general chat. I think saying, like, hey, guys, is there a guild that is just, like, you know, more into just voice chat or less into voice chat, more into just using guild chat?
Yeah.
You know, those sorts of things. Yeah, really cool. Why not?
Yeah, maybe use... Yeah, it's been a while since I've done that, but maybe use the tools that are in there. They're pretty good. I ran into a guy yesterday in... Again, this is an ESO story, but whatever. I ran into some rando in a dungeon, and they have these public dungeons where you can just kind of come and go as you want, and I was in there and kind of having a hard time solo, a little squishy, and there was this other guy in there who seemed to be doing a little bit better. He had some swordy things and a lot of stuns and stuff, and so I thought, hey, maybe I'll just try to hook up with this guy. And before I could even do it, he invited me. We ended up grouping through that whole thing, made friends. He says, hey, you were really fun to run with. I'm in this small guild, and you know, there's some cool people in there if you ever want to check it out. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So sometimes, like real life, maybe it's just poking around and ask a dude, hey, what are you guys in a guild? Like, go look for those experiences. If you're not willing to do that, I don't think there's any quick way to do this, because entering a guild, no matter what, I mean, I could say to you, hey, join AIE, we're really friendly, or join CTR, they're very friendly. Like, we could name five popular friendly guilds that aren't too
hardcore.
Don't join
my guild, though.
No, don't. No, yours sucks. Yours is the freaking worst. But,
oh, well,
but
you're not welcome, right?
I could do that, and but that's too easy. Like, you still need to get a feel for where you're going and what you're gonna like. And I think you have to invest some time in that. It's my thing. And Patrick, any French perspectives on this one?
Well, it's not easy. Obviously, it used to be that you needed a guild in order to raid, and now with the looking for raid tool, it makes a lot of the guilding unnecessary for people who are more casual. So a lot of the guilds that remain are a little bit more hardcore, right? Mm-hmm. Mechanically, that's what happens. So I would say try running some mythic dungeons.
Mm.
And I'm certain that some guilds are, you know, looking for one or two more, you know, some guildies are always looking for one or two more to do mythic dungeons. And if you have a good time with some of them, say, you know, for those people, hey, I'm looking for a guild. Would you guild be recruiting by any chance?
Mm.
It seems to me like the best approximation of deciding whether or not you like the people you're going to end up with. But yeah, all of the other
advice seems like they make sense as well.
Chat room sort of all over the place on this. Somebody said, what does it say? Sidian says, guilds and WoW are pretty dead. The world's moved on. Oh, I don't know about that. There's still plenty going on. I mean, there's still 25.
Yeah, I think it's just guilds are, as I said, they're more in the heart. There used to be all sorts of guilds. Now I think there are only a few sorts of guilds.
Yeah. And there's these mega guilds now, which are just, you know, been around forever. They're usually guilds surrounding like pro teams that are all about world first and stuff like that. Those are a thing. I don't think that's what he's looking for. Yeah. So I don't know. It also depends on his server. He doesn't necessarily want to spend $25 to go experiment every time he wants to check a new server's guilds out. So yeah, it can be a little tricky. I'm also kind of a big fan. I almost started a small incognito, nobody knew about it, secondary guild. I mean, AIE technically I founded, but I almost snuck out on that and did a little like side guild thing. I ended up not doing it, but maybe start your own. Just find a couple of people. All you need is a couple to start and then build it out organically. That almost sounds like fun. That almost sounds like a game mechanic you haven't tried in a long time.
10.
Well, do you need 10 to start? Yeah. So what, run around and spam it for a while? And then I hate that.
Do not listen to that piece of advice.
Yeah, don't spam anything. I hate
the other ones are good. This one, not so much.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks for your email. You can email us at theinstance@gmail.com. And that is going to do it for the show. Don't forget theinstance.net is the website you want to go to get all of your instance needs taken care of. All links to everything are there. And you can find us on Twitter, _T, not Patrick, myself at Scott Johnson. Do you guys have anything going on this week, Patrick, besides birthing a possible baby? I know. So you pre-recorded a bunch of shows. Is there anything you want to pimp?
Sure. Well, I guess the Icy Veins podcast is another very news-focused show that I do on the Icy Veins website, so you can go check that out. It's Blizzard Games, obviously. And if you like games in general, not just Blizzard games, I would recommend listening to Pixels. The second to last episode was the one about the best game from 2017, and we had a bunch of cool people in there, including this here Scott Johnson that participated. Mm-hmm. And then last episode, I did the big games of 2018. And there is a lot to be excited for as well. So that show is called Pixels, and you can find it on your podcast listening app right now. You just go to the search thing, type Pixels, and subscribe.
Nice. You just reminded me, before I throw it to Terpster, I was supposed to interview Chris Metzen this week. This was all planned. We had a date set, time set.
Well, for his post-spinal surgery medicine.
Yeah, well, it was supposed to be...
How is health care in America? I guess he has private health.
He's so probably just fine. But the whole... There was a bit of a secret. Orcs.
They were like, come on, Chris, we need to lead by example. He's like, no, brother, I don't want to do it. They're like, no, we're going to do it.
I'm sorry, he'd say brother. Yeah, he'd say brother for sure.
It has to be.
That was a bit of a secret. Nobody knew about the surgery until he told me about a week ahead, but told me not to say anything. But he said, I'm going to have to change our appointment because I'm getting the spinal surgery. I'm like, oh my gosh, dude, it's freaking horrendous. So anyway, it appears to have been successful. It also they took his beard, which is super sad because that beard is awesome that he had going there, but he can get that back. That'll grow back.
Yeah, I think, well, no, he's not going to get it back. They're going to sell it for auction or something.
Is that it?
They
okay.
Give it back to you.
What do you think they had to find a substance that was strong enough to like replace a vertebrae or fuse a vertebrae. So they had to actually use his beard internally.
I love that.
And that's the only thing.
I love that. That's how it works. It fused the bones together.
Beard. Yeah. It remains.
I love that. But he is good. We'll be back. I just want people to know that. I know I promised second week in January, but that side railed us. So that's why you're not getting one of those this week. As soon as he is in a place where he can sit in front of a microphone comfortably for a bit, we will make that happen.
I mean, it goes to show the length some people go to get out of a Scott Johnson interview.
I know, right?
And so, you know.
He didn't just say I had surgery. He didn't just say I'm hurting or whatever. He literally went and had the surgery done just to avoid having to talk to me again.
It was a very realistic selfie. He might have just, you know, dressed it up and then just been laughing.
That sounds
good, right. Guys.
I went and made a baby just to get out of the show for a few weeks.
I know.
So that shows you.
I know. And there plus, I mean, the French and the Finnish, they take like 9 months off for baby crap. So I don't know when we're going to see Patrick again. I'm a little nervous about it.
But, that's how it goes.
Yeah. I'm very excited about
I'm
that,
I'm thinking
baby.
Of shaving my beard off, Scott. And what? I kind of feel now, post-Mets and having his, that people are going to be like, did you just see Mets having like his beard shaved off and you want to... No, I wanted to do it. And now I'm thinking, you know, maybe I'll have some neck fusing or whatever he had. I'm going to get that done instead.
I don't know. Honestly, I remember you without a beard. You looked like a baby.
I know, but I'm not going to go like clean shaven. But like, you know, just a little bit of shadow on there, like yours, really, Patrick. But maybe a little bit less.
Don't forget. I have.
And I kind of want to take all the hair off the top as well. I think I want to just be, you know, like smooth all over,
like a dolphin,
like a baby.
Yeah,
a baby dolphin.
Yeah, like a baby dolphin. Put those two together. So I don't know if people remember.
Stay away from my blowhole.
We had you on once. Where you had just shaved that beard, and you had said,
"And I look like a thumb."
You said,
"I remember
a thumb.
The GIF." You tweet it regularly.
Yeah,
thank you.
So I made a GIF in a chat room. If you want to see this GIF, I'll be putting it up on the feed.
Doesn't matter. Don't need to. Don't worry about it.
It's one of my favorite things you ever did.
That was about a year ago. I did it as part of our charity thing last year.
Yeah.
And I think I'm just, I'm getting itchy.
Yeah, I understand. Well, if you do it, you share it with the world. We all deserve to.
Oh, yeah, I will. Obviously, I'll put my face on the internet.
Yeah, I think you should. In fact, you know what? Chat room watching live, you've been so nice today with your phone calls and your whatnot. I'm just going to put this up here. There you go. Whoops. Let me pull the right file. Okay, see there? There it is. He says it's like a thumb. And he's just, still look at that baby face. You guys can't see it, but they can see it. It's just adorable. So cute.
Anyway. That's just how I am underneath this grizzled exterior.
Anyway, Terpster,
is
anything?
Is that from a year ago?
It's from a year ago, yeah. It's crazy.
What do you mean by that? What?
What's what? Yeah, why?
Wow,
a year ago.
It's been a tough year for Terps.
It was just an Owen Wilson impression. That's it.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, I see what you're doing.
Whatever. Looks like a thumb.
Terpster, do you have anything you want to pimp? Or are you not?
He's like a thumb.
Are you doing anything?
Yeah, I get it.
Good?
It's cool.
No?
You're like a thumb. I like that.
Okay.
That's really cool. I can respect that. What do I
know?
What am I doing this weekend?
I don't know. Get some
I am
good.
Going to hand dye and restore an old leather chair.
Shut up. So, really?
You don't get much more dad than that.
That's great.
So I've been really looking forward to this for a while. I've got acetone to strip the leather of its current not my taste dye.
Yeah.
It's an old Chesterfield thing. And I'm probably going to break it, but it'll be fun.
I think that's great.
If not, I'm going to get really high on the fumes of just all this paint thinner stuff. Yeah, can't wait.
That's grand news. I want to see how that goes for you. Well done there.
I will document it for you, sir.
Okay.
I will send you regular WhatsApps to the point where you're like, okay, I get it. It's a chair.
Yeah.
Okay, now it's a black chair. Well done. I'll be like, thank you. Thank you very much.
That and baby
it's
news.
It's got holes in it and stuff. I need to glue it and patch it. It's going to be an art of love and labor.
Yeah.
And love. I can't
is
wait.
Is this a self-appointed thing, or did your wife want you to do it?
Yeah.
Or, okay.
No, she didn't want me to do it.
All right.
She wants me to spend time with the family and help her out. I'm like, no, I have a much more important thing I need to do.
I need to fix this damn tree. I understand. Well, all right. We'll keep your eye on Terpster at _T for updates about the, not tree, chair. I said tree, I meant chair.
The chair and the tree.
I'm going to take DayQuil and try to get over this damn flu hole I'm in. You know the old saying, a really bad cold makes you want to die. A really bad flu. No. A really bad cold makes you think you're going to die. A really bad flu makes you want to die. See? Now I got that right.
I'm not. Scott.
Yeah, that exactly. Yeah. I'm sure we can fix that in post.
Sure.
That's great.
It won't be a problem.
That's great.
But anyway.
They say feed a fever, starve a cold.
Yeah.
But actually, it turns out you're meant to eat with both of them. So just keep eating.
Keep eating. Keep doing what you got to do.
Keep eating. Keep hydrating. Keep peeing. Pee out the illness.
Always
That's
pee out the
one.
Illness. Every time you get a chance, That's, pee out that illness.
Every time. Just pee it out.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's going to do it for us. Thank
What's
you all
that?
For
Bit
listening.
Tired? Have a drink. Pee it out. Come on. We've got stuff to do.
We'll be back next time with a whole new, brand new instance. Everybody listening, take care. We'll see you then.
Artifact weapons provide clue to expansion release date. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind.
With the announcement in November that the next expansion would bring us back to our We Have Met the Enemy and It Is Us roots, speculation has been rampant over when our campaign on Argus would end. Many recall the way that previous expansions dragged on for longer than their content was designed, leading to flagging subscription numbers as people lost interest. While the exact date that our battle for Azeroth will commence remains a tightly guarded secret by Blizzard, an interesting tidbit of information recently emerged from an unexpected source: our artifact weapons. With a massive boost to artifact power generation, more and more adventurers are hitting level 75 on all their weapons. This earns them the achievement Army of the Light at the end of the tunnel and a new hidden appearance. So far, it doesn't sound that exciting, right? But what is interesting is that when this new appearance is equipped, zooming in on the weapon reveals a small label, and barely legible at highest zoom factor is our clue: best used before September 2018. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.